Book of Colossians chapter 3 this morning, and I pray that the Lord will use His Word to be a blessing to your heart as we go to God's Word together. Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to begin in verse 12 this morning. Kind of a different topic from what we usually talk about, but this is about one another. Here in Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 12, the Bible says, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, vows of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." So I've entitled the message, One Another. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray you'd use your word in our lives. We count it a privilege to be able to assemble and open it together this morning. And Lord, we come with expectant hearts. We want to hear from you. And pray the Holy Ghost would take the powerful word and apply it to our lives and change us today, Lord. There are those who may be backsliding, those who may be hurting. Lord, we know that you have the power to work miracles in our lives and pray you will today. And so we give you this service. May you be glorified in every aspect of it. We ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. As we look through this passage together this morning and look at some cross-references, I just want you to be on the lookout for this phrase, one another. You're going to be amazed at how often it shows up in the New Testament. Now, there's a reason for that, and it's because that's supposed to be one of the main focuses of our Christian lives. Really, that's it. We're supposed to reach out to the lost, and we're supposed to be a help and a blessing to one another. That's why we're here. It's about people. God's ministry is about people. And so as we walk through this passage together, I'm going to point out a lot of areas where God wants us to be a blessing to one another. But also, again, I just want you to look out for that phrase, and you'll be amazed at how often it shows up. So we'll start in verse 12, where he tells us there to put on holy and beloved bowels of mercy. So as a beginning, he tells us that he wants us to have this mercy or this compassion one toward another. If we would, look at 1 Peter 3:8 as a cross-reference. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Keep your place there in Colossians 3. And we'll see this call of God that we are to have compassion or mercy for one another. Notice 1 Peter 3:8. "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous." So just as a basic, God wants us as Christians, and we're talking about one another as in brothers and sisters in Christ. God wants us to have compassion or mercy on one another. Now, secondly, back in our passage, verse 12, he also mentions this word kindness. You would think God shouldn't even have to write that. Amen. It should be a given that we're going to be kind one to another, but we're sinners. And sometimes we sin. And sometimes those sins involve how we treat each other. But God says he wants us to have kindness one toward another. You know, it should be easy to be kind when you think about how kind God has been to us. And that is what God is asking for. So go to Ephesians 4:32 for a cross-reference this time. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Talking about not only do we have mercy or compassion one to another, but also we are to have kindness. Notice Ephesians 4:32. "Be ye kind," here it is again, "one to another. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." So kind. God wants us to show compassion and kindness one to another. Now back to our passage, Colossians 3:12. He goes on to say, humbleness of mind. Humbleness of mind. You know, one of the things the devil does in people that have been saved a while is get them to the point where they start thinking that they're better Christians than others. It's called being a Pharisee. And there's no place for that in Christianity, by the way. The Bible says humbleness of mind. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. We're to be humble toward one another. The Bible actually mentions, if you go to Romans chapter 12, verse 10, He uses another word that basically is saying the same thing. But God wants us to show compassion, kindness, and humility one toward another. Notice Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Excuse me. The Bible says, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another." Preferring. That means putting one another first. That's what humility is all about. Preferring one another. All right, back to our passage, Colossians 3:12. He mentions meekness. Meekness is not weakness, by the way. The Bible says Jesus was meek. Moses was meek. But the Bible tells us in Ephesians 5:21 to submit ourselves one to another in the fear of God. We're to show meekness toward one another. In other words, yielding to each other and putting others first. Then he mentions in Colossians 3:12, long-suffering. Now, it's a shame he would have to write this, but sometimes, and maybe you haven't experienced this, but sometimes God brings people into your life that you have to have patience to put up with them. That's probably not you, it's probably just me. But sometimes people come into our lives that we need to show long-suffering toward or patience. And God asks us as Christians to do that. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, if you would, in verse 14. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient toward all men." 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Patient toward all men. Even those that it's hard to be patient toward, God wants us to be patient or long-suffering. So already, just in one verse, we've seen compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering that God wants us to show one to another. Now let's go to chapter 2, 3, verse 13 of Colossians. You're going to love this word. Forbearing one another. Surprisingly, other people have faults. Now, we may not have any, but other people have faults. You know those signs they put on the highway? Other people drive wrong and other people drive crazy, so be careful. They put those up for a reason, because we all think we're good drivers. But we also tend to be a bit prideful in our Christianity if we're not careful. And the devil will trick us into thinking that we don't really have that many faults, but everybody else does. And sometimes it's hard to put up with them. But it shouldn't be, because we're Christians. And God says we're to forbear one another. Ephesians 4:2 says, "Forbearing one another in love." Galatians 6:2 says, "Bear ye one another's burdens." So what does forbearing mean? Well, really, to just put it straight out there, it means putting up with one another's faults. And we all have them. But as Christians, God wants us to forbear one another. And then he goes on to say here in Colossians 3:13, and forgiving one another. Again, why should God have to write this? If it wasn't for forgiveness, we would be all going to hell, right? It's the forgiveness of Jesus Christ that made it possible for us to go to heaven. And the Bible tells us that we're to forgive as He forgave. That passage we looked at earlier in Ephesians 4:32, it says, "As Christ hath forgiven you, so also do ye." So we are to forgive one another. We're never to hold grudges. We're never to hold back. We're never to have bitterness. We're always to forgive one another. And he says there in the end of the verse, "As Christ forgave you." Well, how did Christ forgive us? Colossians 2:13 says, "He hath forgiven you all trespasses." Not just some, all. You know, the disciples came to Jesus. They thought, "Lord, we understand what you're trying to tell us here, but what if somebody just keeps doing the same thing and hurting us over and over and over again? How about just 7 times, since that's your perfect number? And then after that, we can say, forget it. And Jesus says, how about 7 times 7? How about 70 times 7? Pick a number, because there's no limit to God's forgiveness, and there should be no limit to our forgiveness. So we're to forgive one another. So just in 2 verses, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, forbearance, and forgiveness. These are the things God wants us to show one to another. Now look at verse 14. And above all, I guess there's an important one coming. Above all these things, put on charity. So it's not surprising that he lifted love above the others, because didn't Jesus say in John 13, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another? Of all the things Jesus could have chosen, he chose love. He said, people are going to know that you're different because they're going to see the love that you show one to another. And by the way, love is action. Love is what we do. The world can see our love through how we treat one another. So it shouldn't be surprising that some people don't want to become Christians because they see the opposite sometimes. But we're to have love one to another, Jesus said. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul describes it a different way here, but 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25, where, again, talking about how we're to treat one another, and specifically having charity or love toward one another, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. You mean we're actually supposed to care for one another? That's what it says. Galatians 5:13 says, bear you one another's... Sorry. It says, by love, serve one another. You mean we're actually supposed to serve each other? That's what it says. Jesus washed the disciples' feet and said, I want you to follow my example. The Bible says in James 5:16 that we're to pray one for another. So we're to have charity. Love one for another. And then verse 15 of our passage, Colossians 3, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you're called in one body. Now, why would he mention peace and one body in the same verse? Because God wants unity among God's people and God's church. He wants God's people to be of one mind. He says in Romans chapter 12, verse 16, be of the same mind one toward another. He wants unity. He wants peace. And then in verse 16, teaching and admonishing one another. You know, there's an element where we're actually supposed to be teaching each other God's word. Not just in church, but in life, because that's what we're supposed to be talking about. When God first gave Israel the word, he said, these words which I command you this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt talk of them. Teach thy children, and thou shalt talk of them. When thou walkest by the way, and when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, I want you to be talking about my word. And here he says that we're to be teaching one another. In that passage, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it tells us about the rapture, that beautiful passage. Right at the very end of the passage, he says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Teach one another. Encourage one another with the word of God. That is something we can do as Christians, one for another, and be scriptural. And then he finishes with this big word, admonish, verse 16. So just to review, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, forbearance, forgiveness, love and unity and teaching. And lastly, he finishes with admonishing one another. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, sing it with grace in your hearts to the Lord. This word admonish, that's a big word because it carries so much. Admonish means to teach but it also means to encourage. It also includes warning. You know, when our kids are growing up and we say, I love you, but you're not allowed to do this because this will happen. I'm teaching you that it's wrong to run out in the street. It's very dangerous. If you run out in the street, you could get hit by a car. That's admonishment. You're loving them. You're telling them you love them, and you're giving them instruction, but you're also including with it a warning that if you disobey what I'm telling you, there's going to be consequences, maybe death. And God tells us that we're to admonish one another. In other words, help each other in this walk that we call the Christian life. Now, a lot of Christians, they'd rather just travel the Christian life by themselves, be a lone ranger. But that's not what God wants. He made us a family. We're brothers and sisters. And we're to be like a family. We're to be admonishing one another. Another word that God uses, if you go to Hebrews chapter 10, is to provoke or to exhort. Hebrews chapter 10, look at verse 24 and 25. The Bible says here, Hebrews 10, 24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says we're to edify one another. Edify, exhort, admonish, provoke. It sounds like God actually wants us to spend some time together. Would you agree? Because we can't accomplish any of this if we don't spend some time together. And as we just read here in Hebrews 10:25, he talks about assembling. Now, the number one reason why we're to assemble is because of this. Amen? The Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. But the number two reason is because of one another. Because it gives us an opportunity to be together as a family and fulfill a lot of these things that God has commanded for Christians how we're to treat one another. If we all just stayed at home and never saw each other, we couldn't do this. But these are commands for Christians. So God wants us to get together as often as we can so that we can not only be encouraged by His Word, but we can make a difference in each other's lives. The Christian life is to be about others. Firstly, the lost, they need to hear about Jesus Christ. They need to be told that God loves them so much that He became a man Himself and came and died on the cross and rose again for them. They need to know this, that their Creator loves them that much, that He fulfilled this amazing thing called the gospel and wrote it down in His Word and offers them eternal life as a gift. How beautiful is that? That if they will but repent and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior and acknowledge what God did for them and ask Him, He will give them eternal life. And we need to tell people this great story called the gospel. But the Christian life is not only about the lost, but it's also about each other. And we're to be making a difference in each other's lives in these areas that God has pointed out just in this short little passage. Compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, forbearance, forgiveness, love, peace, teaching, and admonishing. It sounds like we got our work cut out for us. That's a long list. And that's just a sample. But you probably noticed how often that phrase, one another, showed up. Just over and over and over again in the New Testament. Again, we're a family. And God wants us to act like a family. Well, He wants us to act like a normal family. I know there's families that we would rather not emulate, but He wants us to be a family that loves one another and makes a difference in each other's lives for good. Amen? So praise God for His love for us that led Him to save us from hell through Jesus Christ. And praise God that now He's given us an opportunity to take that love that's His and give it to others. And make a difference in their lives too. One another. That should be our focus. Let's pray. Lord.